Thank you for that. What a blessing. We're going to be in Acts chapter 14, so find that in your Bible and stand with me, and we'll read our text this evening, Acts chapter 14. You know what I'm thankful for? One thing I'm thankful for about the Word of God, so many things, but one thing I'm thankful for about the Word of God is it transcends the heart of men in the sense that the Word of God is the message of God. The Word of God is God's, it's His Word to us. It's God working in us. So it transcends man. He strikes to our heart, but He speaks to us from His Word. And I think that's a miracle. I'm amazed by it. I don't feel deserving to be able to do this. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the privilege. You know, sometimes we're where God wants us to be, and then we get away from where God wants us to be. And God's mercy touches us through His Word, and He brings us back to where He wants us to be. He brings us back to where we should be. Maybe I can say it this way. He brings us back to where we used to be. Like revival. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So take a look at that with me in verse number 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. This Antioch is Antioch of Pisidia. You might remember earlier in the chapter, Paul was there with Barnabas and he preached. And of course, there were people who got saved, but also there were enemies that rose up. Same thing in Iconium. And so these that rose up in opposition to Paul, the scripture says, they came looking for him. He was in Lystra at this point. So they traveled. By the way, those in Antioch of Pisidia, they traveled 100 miles, you know, to find Paul here. So to read this and to see that, there's a lot of devotion to seek to destroy Paul's ministry. And then it says this, who persuaded the people. That is, they persuaded the people of Lystra. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. I think the word supposing is really key, because there's some debate as to whether Paul actually died. I think that he didn't fully die. I think that there were those that supposed that he was dead. But either way, look what happened in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. That must have been an exciting moment, you know, thinking he's dead. Of course, there's emotion involved with that, but then he stood up. And then it says this is amazing. He came into the city, like went right back into the city that just stoned him, went straight back in there. And so we see a contrast here. Let me read the last phrase and let me show you a couple things. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. The contrast here is we have those that are of Lystra that are persuaded by the enemies of God who came in and persuaded them to be against the man of God. And then you have the man of God who's stoned and cast out of the city like a corpse, who would not be persuaded, went straight back into the city. So we have extreme opposites, contrast here. And I think God has a message for us that we would be who He would have us to be. Father, we need You tonight. I pray for Your grace. Guide us in Your path. Strengthen us where we're weak. Lord, we need to hear from You. So I pray that You would do Your work in our lives. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was in college, that's when I started to drink coffee. Now, when I was a kid, my grandma and grandpa had coffee. It was always coffee in the coffee pot. I mean, there was pot roast on the stove and coffee in the coffee pot. No matter when we went to grandma's house, there was one of those. It was either beans. It could have been pot roast, but it was beans or pot roast, you know. And coffee always brewing. And I would drink coffee some, but I didn't really like coffee as a kid. I only drank it because grandma and grandpa they loved coffee, and I loved grandma and grandpa. So that's where that was. But when I was in high school, no thanks, no way. Went to college, I'm like, I'm never going to drink coffee. But then I started getting up at like 4:30 and 5 in the morning and going to bed past midnight every night just trying to get my homework done. And I was tired. I'm like, Anna, maybe this is what coffee's all about. So I bought some Folgers, you know, and like the big mother load. You know what I'm talking about? Like the can. You know, back in the old days, we used to play Kit the Can with those after we would get done with them. But we'll talk about Kit the Can at a different time. But the big, you know, Folgers. And here's how I made coffee. I got like a teaspoon out, and I did like one, two, maybe three teaspoons, you know, little ones, and 10 cups of coffee. I mean, 10 cups of water, I mean, over that much coffee. And it was barely tainted brown. It was like dirty water. And that was my coffee. I'm like, ooh, this is strong. But I got to get that caffeine in me, you know? And then after a few rounds of that, it's like, the spoon got bigger, you know? And now it's like, it pours out slow. You know, it's not, you know, it's, we need that coffee. So I'd always drink hot coffee, never drank cold coffee. When I was after college, years later, and cold coffee started happening, and I'm like, why would you do that? I mean, just a bunch of weirdos drinking cold coffee. That's what I thought. And somebody offered me cold, you know, coffee with ice in it. I'm like, why would you do that? And they bought me a big thing of it. I'm not drinking this, you know. And I was grateful, and I said, thank you for this coffee. I'm not going to drink, you know. But anyway, so that was me for years. And then Brother Stussy comes on staff. Our first staff meeting day. He's like, oh, you have to have some pistachio cream cold brew. I'm like, what's that? Well, it's not iced coffee, but it's cold. I'm going to walk over here because Brother Chris and I get into it on this. So it's cold coffee, and then it has pistachio cream on it. It's amazing. So I drank this, and I'm like, wow. I'm like seeing visions. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was showing up. In fact, we got two coffees that day. I mean, that's how much I liked it. And you know what? Ever since, it's been only cold brew coffee. And of course, I do live in Phoenix. So, I mean, you know, there is that excuse on this. But he changed my mind. Just that influence. Brother Stussy's an influence on me with coffee. I thought I would never turn to coffee that had ice in it. But now it's only that. Well, let me say this. There are times in our life when we have influences that are good influences. And they guide us in a way that is positive, and it makes us stronger. And we need those influences in our life. And by the way, that's why we need to be around church people. Yeah. And by the way, let me also say this, not all church people are created equal. And so sometimes you can be around somebody who is at one way at church and another way when they're not at church. And we have to be careful about that. But we need those good influences in our life because they do affect us. They cause us to change things in life, and we want to be changed positively. But there are influences that can change us in a negative way. We can be persuaded to become something other than what we used to be. We used to perhaps be somewhere where it was an honor to God, and it was a blessing, and we in the eyes of the Lord, were on the right path. And then there were influences that came into our life, and now we're just not quite where we used to be. And we've gotten away. That persuasion is a reality that's a potential reality in our life. And as we come to the life of the Apostle Paul, there are influences. Paul's coming into this city, and he is being an influence of the gospel. The scripture in this passage, in earlier in this story, that there was an impotent man. Verse number 8. There was a man that was impotent in his feet, meaning he was crippled. He'd never walked, and Paul healed him. And after that healing, there were those of Lystra who began to worship him as a god. And so there was energy, there was excitement about the ministry of Paul, but they were confused about who he was. They were giving him glory that he would not receive. When he and Barnabas found out that they were trying to worship him as a god, he put a stop to it. He said, no, we're not a god. And then he gave them the gospel. Now, what Paul was trying to do was give them the gospel to persuade them to the Lord, to be right with the Lord, to be on God's path. So he was trying to be a good example or a persuasion towards the things of the Lord for those of Lystra. But the scripture says that they wouldn't listen to the guiding message of Paul. They would not be instructed by him. The implication there was that Paul was telling them, don't sacrifice to us. Don't worship us as gods. You need to see the true living God. You need to turn to him. But they would not be persuaded. They would not listen to him. Amen. And they continued to seek to worship him. Now, there would have been a time in this process that they would have realized that Paul's not going to be a god to us. Barnabas, they're not going to give us what we're expecting. They're not going to be a benefit to us, to bless us like we're expecting. And so when people have an expectation in their life of leadership, and then that expectation is disappointed, then everything changes about your feelings about that leadership. And you had this expectation, and there was a failure in that expectation, and so now, in my eyes, you're not the leader that I thought you would be. So that would have started to happen with those of Lystra. See, they thought he was going to be a god to them. They had an experience in the past that would have said, gods like this are going to put blessings on you. And so they had that expectation. So there already would have been a disruption in their spirit towards Paul. And then it just added to it when the outsiders came. Look what it says next. And our text was verse number 19. Let's look at that. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. So what does that mean? It means that at the same time, those of Lystra had the expectation that Paul would bring a blessing to them, and he wasn't doing that. He was just giving them the gospel. There were those that were bitter towards Paul that came from Antioch of Pisidia and in Iconium. They began to persuade the people against Paul. And so they're already leaning that direction, and now this influence comes along the way and influences further towards maybe a direction they were already leaning. That's why it would have been so easy or quick for them to stone Paul, as we're going to see here in a minute. But they're being influenced. They're being persuaded. You know, they're being persuaded away from the gospel and towards a bitterness against the man of God, a persuasion. Now, this ought to stir us a little bit, because there's a tendency for us to be persuaded too, to be influenced. And not influenced in a good way. Not to be stirred up in a good way. But to be stirred up and influenced against the way that the Lord would have us to go. I was thinking about, I had talked about this a while, this would have been, I guess, a month or two ago. But about a TV show that I watched called The Buttercream Gang. And there was Scott and Pete. And these are the main characters in the story. And Scott was the leader, really, he was kind of like the leader of the Buttercream Gang, and what they would do is they would go about and do good deeds in the community. And everybody knew them. They were just these, you know, these good kids that went about and did good things. Pete went away to New York, and he got around the wrong influences, and he became part of a gang, but not the Buttercream Gang. He became a part of a gang that stole and took things. And then he visited back home where he had grown up with Scott, and in that community, but he wasn't the same guy he was when he left. And so watch this. He was one way when he was in this community and he was involved with the Buttercream Gang, and he had that same kind of testimony along with those guys. But then when he left, he got around other influences so that he was influenced by them. And when he came back, he wasn't the same guy he used to be. And what I'm telling you is that's what happens to us. In our life, there's persuasion in the world, and that persuasion has an effect on our spirit. It has an effect on what we believe and how we behave, the things that we do and things that we don't do. So that a way that we have been, or a way that we know God had worked in our life to bring us to, so that we get away from God and we get involved with other things out there, and those other things have an influence on us and pull us away so that we become something other than what we used to be. We become something other than what God has designed or He has called us to be. This is a danger. This is a danger that young people have when they go to public school and get around other kids in the public school, and we can glamorize it. We can pretend like it's not there, but it is. A kid grows up in a certain situation. He's not really influenced by the world. And then you take that same kid and you put him in a public school. You think that he's not going to change. You think that she's not going to change. You're deceived. And they will be affected by that. So that they're one way here, and then they go over here, and they're in a totally different format and totally influenced by totally different people. They will become affected by that. And there will be an influence there that will cause them to change in some ways. That's a danger. There's a temptation for that. There's a danger for that. It happens with our kids. It happens in our life through media. The media that we allow ourselves to be influenced by. You watch the news all the time. You're going to be affected by that. Amen. I'm like, well, I like watching. I like watching stuff on the news, especially these days. It's a lot more exciting, you know. But if you watch the news all the time, you watch the news every day, you will be affected by that. Amen. You play video games, kids, look up here. You play video games every day, that's going to affect you. Sure. You watch movies every day, that will affect you. You turn the TV on every single day, that will affect you. There's things that influence us, and we think that it won't influence, but it will. You were one way here, you allow those things into your life, what it will end up doing is it will change you so that you're not like you used to be. And people will along the way that remember how you were, and then when those influence have come into your life, and now they see how you are now, I wonder what happened with them, what's going on with them? They're not the same as they used to be, and that happens to us. That happens in our life. All of us that are here, this is a potential to happen to us, and this is what's happening here. There were those that were of Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium, and they persuaded the people. I mean, look at it. This is what it says, verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and look what it says, who persuaded the people. They were persuaded. They were influenced by this spirit. And so what happened next is they stoned Paul. And they took his body that was like a corpse, and they drew him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. And it's almost like we can picture that they threw him on a heap or something. And while there, verse number 20, howbeit the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. And so the people of Lystra being persuaded stoned Paul, and then Paul on the heap as a corpse rises up being alive. And then from there, the people said, I would assume that the disciples would have been standing there thinking, this is amazing, this is a miracle, we need to get out of here. But Paul says, no, we need to go back into the city. I mean, that takes a lot of courage, don't you think? I mean, for him to say, hey, let's go right back into that city, and we're going to keep doing what we did. We're going to preach the gospel, not just courage, but how about this? Trust in the Lord, that God's in control, that God knows what he's doing, and that we can follow him and he's going to protect us in this. So Paul rises, he goes right back into the city. This is to say that Paul, although the people of Lystra would have been persuaded, Paul would not be persuaded. He would not be persuaded to quit. I said earlier that there are things that need to change in our life, and it's in a good way. This morning I mentioned in the message about Trevor and Alexis being married. That was a step in the direction. They want to be right with God. That's what motivated them. They want to be members of the church, but there are some other things that need to be dealt with. And so they said, we want to be right with God. That blessed me. It wasn't like, oh, pastor, if that's what you say, that's what we'll do. No. Is that what God wants us to do? That's what we're going to do. I love that. That's the motive. That's the way it ought to be. These are changes in our life that God does. This is the work of God. This is God speaking to you and sometimes showing us what he wants us to do, but often he's reminding us of what we already know. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. These are the changes that I want you to make. And these are the things that cause us to grow and to become what he would have us to be. And I would say that tonight there's probably some of that that needs to happen. There are some of us, we have some things in our life that God is working on us about, and we need to let Him work in us about it. We need to let Him change us. And so we need to seek Him. We need to come to our knees and ask God to help us to be what He wants us to be, to change. Sometimes there are changes that happens in our life that are not what I would say good things. Not good kind of changes. Let me give you an example. It's like when you're getting old. You know what happens when you get old? Amen. Your body hurts. And we were teasing about this slide park, and we went to the slide park. And basically what you do is you get on this, it's these slides that are real tall. And they just do all kinds of stuff, and they go all around. It's like for kids, okay? But we're out there. Mistake number one, right? So, but you get this pad, and it has a place where you can put your hands. And what you do is you put your elbows in like this, and you have your hands in this pad, and you just lay on your stomach. And then you go down this slide on that pad, and you're just sliding all over the place. Sometimes you're spinning. And so there were some that went up like this, and then you went into the foam thing. And then others, the slide started and you just went straight down, and then you just kind of went back like this. There were some that had a hump on it like that, and so you went up and then you got airborne for a little bit, and then that hit. And you're like, okay, not doing that one again. That one I did one time. That was enough on that one. There was one where you came down and it just was like a slide that just shot you up in the air. And you're just airborne for a while, just flying through the air like Superman. And then you just land on this mat. Now, the kids, they would do this, and they're laughing, and they're just flying in the air, and they land on that mat gracefully, and then they roll off, and they go do it again. Not us. We go down the mat, and we're screaming. And we are airborne, and it's not like joy. It's terror. And we don't gracefully hit the mat, and I have proof of that. We splat on the mat. Amen. And then some of us lay there for a while, moaning. And somebody has to drag them off the mat, take them to the hospital, put them on a gurney. But what I'm saying is there's changes that happen, and, you know, it's not the good kind of change. The world will change us. Amen. The world will change us. And it's not a good kind of change. We need God to revive us. Amen. We need God to bring us back to where we used to be. I remember when I was in Bible college, and I said this to you before, but I would sit on the front row, Brother Jackson. And I was on the front row at Bible college, but I wasn't a front row, like, fold your leg guy. There's some of y'all folding your legs out there. I didn't do that. I'm like, that's way, no way. I mean, I was like, it was like a track meet for me. I felt like I was along with the preacher. And if it was a fiery, I was like, let's go. So I would sit on that front chair in chapel, and I would be almost like, well, it just depends. I would be sitting there sort of like this, but excited, always leaning forward. I was never on the back of the seat, always leaning forward. But when the preaching got fiery, one leg went out in front of the other one. I was literally like I was about to take off for a race. It was in me. The passion was in there. Where has the passion went? I don't know if you can feel it, but we're missing a little bit of passion right now. Amen. I sense as though in myself and in some of us that where we used to be is not where we are today. Why does that happen? Because we get persuaded. We get influenced. And those influences in our life at times can pull us away from where we used to be. the fire isn't there like it used to be. People who remember us in those days, and now if they saw us today, you're not what you used to be. Something isn't quite right. What do we need? We need revival.
What we need to do?
What we need to do is like Paul, who's laying on the heap, his body like a corpse, so that people say he's not even alive anymore. And you know what happened? He rose up. He rose up from the heap. And when he rose up from the heap, he went right back into the city to say, I will not be persuaded by this world. This world beat me. This world pushed me down. This world sought to destroy the work of God in my life. But it's not going to happen for me. Amen. I'm where God wants me to be. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And I'm going to rise up from this heap. I'm going to go right back into where God wants me to be. I'm going to let the passion flow. I'm going to let God use me to be what He wants me to be. And that's what some of us need to do tonight. We need revival.
Amen.
We need to God pull us up from the heap. God, I feel a little bit dead tonight. Well, you're probably not alone. And I think maybe Paul felt a little bit dead too, don't you think? So what did he do? He rose up and he went back into the city with fire. We have two sides of the coin here. We have those of Lystra who let the world in. They let this influence in and pull them away from what they knew they were supposed to be and what God would have been working in their heart to become. And you and I do the same thing. So what we used to be is not where we are today.
Amen.
The passion is gone. The fire is gone. Something's missing. There's not even a smolder there. You're like, what's wrong with me? You need to rise up. You need to go back into the city and be what God wants you to be.
Amen.
Don't let this world persuade you.
Wow.
Let God revive you.
That's good.
God, I need revival. I need you to revive me, Lord. I need you to put that passion back in me. I need you to do something in me. Obviously, I cannot do this for myself. Here's what I want, God. I want to get back to the edge of the seat again. Because I've gotten laid back here, folded my. Some of y'all had your legs folded. Some of you still do. I want to get back to the fire's there again. Let's go. We need to rise up. We got to rise us up. We need revival. He wants to do that in you. We have to decide we're going to go back and to be. Listen, we want to go back to be what we used to be. What is that for you? Where have you left? Where did it break off for you? What influence is in your life right now that's pulling you away? Moms and dads, let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Remember when your kids had a fire for the things of the Lord and now they don't? What happened there? What do we need to do? There needs to be something that changes in our home. There needs to be something that changes in our family so that we can go back to what we used to be. Let's build that fire back in our homes and back in our families. And it could be that some things need to change. It could be some influences need to be deleted. God, help us to be what you'd have us to be. Paul would not be persuaded to quit. There were people who were persuaded, the people of Lystra who were persuaded by the world. Let me encourage you tonight to not let the world persuade you. Let me encourage you tonight to ask the Lord for a revival so that we could be like we used to be.